Can I just ask people to try and move up forward in the room? We've got a fairly tight presentation that you won't be able to read, and it probably is quite pertinent to you. So please move forward in the room. We've got great vacant spaces at the front and everyone tending to be at the back, so don't be shy. Well, good afternoon, everybody. And again, I'll repeat myself. Please come forward. There's plenty of vacant space up here. And we will be looking at words on screen. So I'm pretty sure you can't read it from the back. So please move forward. Hi, my name's Keith Davidson. I'm chairing this session. And this session is our fourth internet governance session here in Singapore. And it's a community discussion defining principles and requirements for the IANA function transition process from a CCTLD perspective. That's our challenge. We have 90 minutes to attend to this simple task. The moderator for the session and the person doing most of the talking as we get through will be Byron Holland. But we have two presentations to start. We'll firstly have one from Becky, in defining the what, and then we'll have a presentation from Jay, which is illustrating some models that might be the future, and then Byron will walk through principles and process. So we'll have no more than 30 minutes for the first two speakers, 30 minutes on principles and process, and then Fadi is going to join us in the room for the last 30 minutes, in which we want to pose the questions that arise along the way from this session to him. So do you have something to add, Byron?
Yes, I do, in that, welcome to this session. Hopefully it's going to be an interactive session. We know that this issue significantly impacts us all, and getting your feedback and input through this is going to be absolutely critical. If I could just say, one of the things that I've noticed through the week is kind of the changing landscape of this discussion. In a sense, what is the problem statement exactly? Not generally or sort of overall, but exactly what is the problem statement that we're trying to solve? Exactly what does NTIA do that matters to us, that gap that is going to need to be filled? The other piece is the process piece. How are we going to feed into working towards that solution with the broader community? Yesterday, a few of us just took a stab at what the problem statement might look like to put it out as a straw man for us as a community to talk about, to say, is this really the role that NTIA plays right now? Is there anything else? Are we missing anything? Can we come to some sort of general consensus on it that will allow us to start having a dialogue about a process to inputting into the ICANN consultation, if we want to use that word for right now? So with that, we've put it on the screen here, and Becky is going to walk us through it. And we are going to actually take the time to look at it in some detail, because this whole issue is to a great degree an issue of nuance and words, and they're very important. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Becky.
Thanks. As Byron said, we're going to talk about two things. First of all, we're going to just step through what it was NTIA said when it announced its intention to transition these functions, the IANA functions. And then we're going to look at just a straw man for what that means, what role the U.S. government is playing right now and that we need to replace in this process. So the first thing is that What NTI announced is that it planned to transition key internet domain name functions to the global multi-stakeholder community, and it called on ICANN to convene global stakeholders to develop a proposal to transition the current role played by NTIA in the coordination of the internet's domain name system. So NTIA is thinking that it's transitioning a role, and ICANN is being called upon to convene stakeholders to figure out how to do that. There's no presumption in NTIA's statement about what the outcome would be, what the end result of any transition would be. And NTIA, as Larry told us yesterday, set essentially four conditions and only four conditions, which would be that whatever we all come up with, it has to support and enhance the multi-stakeholder model. It has to be consistent with maintaining the security, stability, and resiliency of the internet DNS. It has to meet the needs and expectation of global customers and partners of IANA services, and that's, as we talked about yesterday, very important to us because with respect to the domain, the name services, CCs are incredibly important consumers. And then it must maintain the openness of the internet. And just another point that's not in here, anything that the internet community, the global community, develops consensus over is fine so long as it's not a multinational institution. So NTIA in the announcement described its role in DNS coordination, which is what it's thinking of transitioning as, and this is just with respect to names, administering changes to the authoritative root zone file and serving as the historic steward of the DNS. So the question that's become pretty clear this week is, we all know what administering changes to the authoritative root zone file means in a sense, but what we don't know, I think, or what's not entirely obvious, is serving as the historic steward of the DNS. So a group of us got together yesterday and just sort of tried to articulate what we thought of. We know that there are things missing, and so one of the things we need your help with today is figuring out what is missing from our list. But Alan's already mentioned one thing that I think is missing. So we know that the NTIA authorizes changes to the authoritative root zone. We know that it oversees ICANN's performance of those of the functions in the IANA contract. We know that it oversees VeriSign's performance of the functions set out in the cooperative agreement, and that's essentially taking changes that have been approved by NTIA and entering them into the authoritative zone. We know that, and I think, you know, we sort of forgot about this for a little while we were talking about it. We know that actually NTIA both establishes the requirements and specifications under which both the IANA functions and the root zone management function are done. So when NTIA was drafting the newest IANA contract, it put the draft contract, out for comment, and that was the way that the community had input into the requirements. So it included things like not just the sort of specific, you know, enter this, do that, but included things like what kind of automation should there be, how much consultation should there be, what kind of documentation would be required, what are the SLAs. That's something that, you know, NTIA has been doing, but it's obviously something that we're going to want to that somebody needs to do. We've had input into it, but it's clearly something that's transitioning. As Alan pointed out to me, of course, NTIA actually chooses who performs the IANA functions under that contract and who performs the root zone management functions. And then NTIA also oversees ICANN's obligation to develop and implement consensus policies through a bottom-up multi-stakeholder process as expressed in but not limited to the affirmation of commitments and to be accountable to all stakeholders for the outcome of its decision-making. So what we want to do here, and this is not going to be a one-time shot, we're going to iterate over this, is get input. Is this the right list? Have we missed something? Does something that we've got up here not belong? As I said, we know that there's one thing that needs to be added, and that's selecting the IANA functions contractor and selecting the root zone manager.
Thank you very much, Becky. So, I think you're good to go, but just before you do, like we started out saying, you know, this was a straw dog that a few of us thought, how do we isolate and start thinking about this problem in pieces that are digestible as opposed to a big amorphous discussion that to some degree has been happening throughout the course of this week. And our goal is to see if can we come to some common conclusion on what exactly the roles are and have consensus on that, because that's going to help us start to think about the process and then the substantive matters beyond the process. That's how we got to where we are today. Of course, we had a very defined session for this one before NTIA made their announcement. So what we're trying to do here is, as much as possible, solicit input and feedback. We are going to have a scribe right here, so we're not going to lose anything. I mean, I know we have a transcript, but we're also going to actually have a scribe take a picture of it and then try to, in very short order, work something back into this document. Stefan.
Yeah. StefanJohnson.se. Just to be sure, are we absolutely sure about that the IANA functions will actually stay within ICANN?
Well, so we said that the IANA, that NTIA right now makes the selection for who the IANA functions contractor is. So that's a role that we have to transition. This does not predispose who that is, but the selection is an important piece of that.
Can I just introduce a slightly different thread too? There are not many people in the room who are on Adobe Connect, but there are a couple of people who are not here. So perhaps if you join the room and stimulate debate so people can absorb some more information, that might be useful as well. Thank you.
And you might also be able to see the text.
That's true. And the other thing is, you know, feel free to use the chat if you want instead of coming to the mic, either way. But we would like to solicit as much sort of feedback into this to help us, help us all with the thinking about this issue.
Yeah, thank you, Pierre, from AFNIC.fr. That's more a question, but in the IANA text, they talk about IANA functions with an S. So I'm not totally sure that NTIA is not speaking of also protocol parameters, IP addresses. I mean, I know yesterday the panelists told us, no, we are not concerned, but I'm not sure.
So the current contract does include a statement of work that has a variety of different functions, and it does include the parameter protocols and all of that. But I think, in truth, NTIA doesn't have much of a role with respect to that. But it's part of the IANA functions.
I think I understand your question, and yes, that's transitioning as well. And what we are concerned about is what the CCTLD aspect of the IANA function will transition to. And being conscious that the protocol parameters, the IP address space, and the GTLDs will be transitioning, and we shouldn't do anything to affect their transition, but it should be seamless with ours as well. We don't want to be obligated by their rules and conditions, and we shouldn't feel that they should be obligated by ours. So it's discrete, vertical silos of transitioning.
And I think that's an important point that effectively has been made there. There's an underlying assumption to where we were going with this, and that is its focus is around the functions that impact us as a community, not the RIRs or the IETF.
If I understand well, there is a common understanding that the IP address and the protocol parameters are transitioning also. So I think first step we should write that this is included in the transition. Then maybe we could think if it impacts us, and if it doesn't impact us, we don't talk about it. I mean, we go too quickly. I'm not sure that we are not impacted, for instance, by the IP addresses and the IRR transition.
I think we can capture a point on the board that we need to take into account the other IANA database customers and their needs and their transition plans.
Right, take it into account and and understand that how their transition works and how that would affect us.
Yes, Hiro from .jp. Before going into the content, can someone explain what the meaning of the steward or stewardship? It seems that the steward or stewardship is the keyword of this discussion, but I'm not an English speaker, and I can't understand what steward is.
So I think you understand very well, because steward is the key word, that, and it's a little bit ambiguous. But I think, you know, that's a role of sort of in the way that we might talk about a trustee under RFC 1591. It's, you know, helping to manage and preserve a shared resource for the entire community of users. But really, I mean, that's what steward means sort of generally. What we are really doing here is defining what that stewardship is. That's what the work that is here.
So we want to have maybe another question or two. The other thing is, this is not a discrete process and moment in time right now. We know we're putting something up that nobody's seen before. It takes time to soak it in, think about it. So also, if you have that, you know, thought in the middle of the night, please feel free to send Keith an email. No, feel free to send me an email. You know, as a council, we're also going to be thinking about how do we actually start to wrestle with this problem. So I'm sure something will be coming out shortly around a path for input. But this is just the beginning of a process. So we don't have to solve this right now, clearly. But if there's anything we've obviously missed, anything you clearly want to add, please.
Patricio Poblete from Nick Chile. I think that to better understand what's being discussed, we have to try to make a distinction between what's trivial and what's not. In a sense, there's a lot of this that is trivial. I mean, one needs to have an entity, the IANA, that makes the needed changes in the root zone. For instance, if we in .cl want to change one of our DNS servers, we need that to be registered in an efficient and competent manner. But that's not rocket science. I mean, if if it only was that, one wouldn't understand why there would be such a wide discussion process involving all the internet community in the world and the governments and perhaps the United Nations and who knows, only to do that, which is a clerical function, right? So that's the trivial part, and I'm afraid that sometimes we tend to get bogged down in that as if that was the important part, and it's not, okay? So what's important part for us? Well, delegations and redelegations. Who makes those decisions? Because once the decision is made, that goes into the roots on file, and that's the clerical part. But who makes that decision? So we need to clarify whether that's going in the same package, in the same bundle with the IANA function, or if that stays in ICANN. Where is exactly that power of making those important decisions for us? I think that's a crucial question. If we were to imagine an ICANN without the IANA, that might be an ICANN without teeth. I mean, could make any decisions that they wanted, but why would IANA obey those commands, right? If they are together, that becomes automatic. But if we imagined a different contractor, that we would have to have very clear rules about that. My question is, when the ICANN board makes a decision to redelegate a CCTLD, is it acting as ICANN or is it acting as part of the IANA function?
Point very well made, Patricio, and noted. I think when we get into our next session and start to see the tree of decision-making and structure, that might start to clarify what things could look like in various ways. So I think we're starting to get ahead of the game, so perhaps it's the opportune moment, unless anyone else has a really burning question, to transition to the second presentation.
Sure, that would be great. Jake, come on up, please.
Thanks.
So the next thing we wanted to take to walk through was just to start thinking about, you know, what are, if these arguably, just for the moment, are the gaps that need to be filled once NTIA pulls out, and some of them are technical, clerical, and then, you know, the fourth bullet point down there starts to talk about the more substantive meaty issues. If everything in one house, everything run and done by ICANN is one solution, clearly there's a spectrum of solutions that include full structural separation and maybe even multiple bits of structural separation. And in a sense, that's a continuum. And not only are those separate entities and organizations, but they can have different impacts on accountability, on trust and oversight, and the interplay between the various functions. So we thought it would be hopefully of interest, because some people have already started thinking about these topics, Jay being one of them, to just take a look at if the document we just saw articulated some of the roles and some of the gaps that will need to be filled once NTI pulls out, how can we start to look at them on that spectrum of potential solutions? And this is certainly by no means exhaustive. We heard some other ones the other day, but Jay's going to walk us through some of the work that they've been doing around trying to map roles to functions and structures. Jay.
Thank you. So I'm going to start just by showing you the straight text of the first two paragraphs of the NTIA announcement, just to follow up with Becky's bit there. And that, so the text is highlighted to make it very clear where the analysis that Becky has just provided for you has come from there. So the first bit of highlight is the intent to transition key internet domain name functions to the global multi-stakeholder community. The second bit highlighted is the request for a proposal to transition the current role. Then they go on to talk about the role. And first, they're very clear, it includes the procedural role of administering changes to the authoritative root zone file, as well as serving as the historic steward of a DNS. Now, that's vital because the conversation so far, as presented by a number of people within ICANN has been solely about that second point there. And then we have the third point, clearly, which is the contractual control that they have over the IANA functions and the cooperative agreement with VeriSign. And then, of course, the overall ambition of this is the privatisation of the DNS. It's important to be clear that it's a very wider thing than any specific goal about ICANN. It's about the whole system moving in that way. So this diagram, which is impossible to see if you're not in the Adobe Connect room, I will try to make much bigger for you. So the overview of functions then. So this is the oversight function. There are different interpretations of this. Okay, so this is an attempt at an interpretation. We have the stewardship role. Now, traditionally, the NTIA has promoted its stewardship through promoting top-level principles. I think we forget that the NTIA were, to a degree, very much responsible for the word multi-stakeholder and for the idea of multi-stakeholderism being part of a core part of internet governance. They've also been very strongly behind the idea of a competitive market. They've driven the particular phrase of public accountability, and more recently, security and stability have very much become part of it. So now there are other ways of wrapping up what the stewardship means. It's just an attempt to explain it. Then we have the contractual oversight of issuing and monitoring the IANA contract, and reissuing, of course, and issuing and monitoring the root zone maintainer contract, that which VeriSign has. And then finally, there are the specific DNS root operations where they authorize the changes. Then we then move into, and this is going to be slightly tricky to show on the screen, the policy area, and I'll just need to read this out for you. So common to all areas of the policy, we have monitoring the IANA SLA, to ensure that it's actually delivering as required. Then we have the GTLD contract space, which is authorising, contracting and regulating GTLDs, authorising, contracting and regulating registrars or GTLD registrars. Then we move into the GTLD policy space here, which is setting the policy by multi-stakeholder consensus and issuing delegation and redelegation instructions to IANA in line with that policy, so the instantiation of that policy. Then we get into the IP address and autonomous system address space here. This is split into two, because we have here the local policy set by community consensus, where change requests are issued to IANA in line with global policy. And here we have the global policy, where delegations and redelegation instructions. So effectively in the IP bit, that means this bit on the right is the allocation of large blocks to the RIRs. On the left, that is then the RIRs handing out address space within that and occasionally asking IANA to change some name servers for their reverse lookup. We get something very similar down in the CCTLD space here. We have the local policy set within CCTLDs, and change requests issued to IANA in line with that policy, which is effectively us asking for name server changes or those things. Then we have the global policy here, set by community consensus, which is really just about delegations and redelegations. Then if we move... let me just try to stop that moving so quickly. Then down here, finally, we have the protocol parameters part of policy, which is setting policy by community consensus and issuing change instructions to IANA. Then the final bit of the policy slide here are the IANA functions here and the root zone maintainer functions. Okay, for the IANA functions, for all registries, their job is to operate the changes in line with published policies, measure their own performance against an SLA, refer complex or unclear change requests, and where possible, where allowed, publish all change requests. accepting, of course, that they get so many lunatic change requests that they need to filter out those. Then we have the specific DNS route operations that they do. Implement delegation and redelegation in line with policies. Check the changes are technically compliant, as the changes given by us country codes, for example, or TLDs, and sign the route. Then we have the root zone maintainer functions. The first one is to check the changes are technically compliant, the second pair of eyes to do that again. And that does occasionally throw up errors, so this is not an unnecessary step. And then finally to publish the route. Now, that's the policy makeup. I'm now going to show you some overlays. I'm going to make these smaller so that you can see them all in one go, even though you can't read the detail anymore. The detail will be hopefully shown from the previous slide. So here is the current overlay of organisational split. At the top here at the oversight layer, we have the NTIA. Here for the GTLD contracts and the GTLD policy bit, and the global CCTLD policy and the global IP address policy, we have ICANN doing that, and I recognise that's through the ASO and the CCNSO, but that's the point is it's within the ICANN framework. And here we have the IANA functions operated on contract. Then the other players that we have are for the local IP address policy, we have the RIRs in blue there, and then for the local TLD policies, we have the CCTLDs. Down the bottom down here, we have the IETF and the IAB setting the protocol parameter policy. And then finally, we have VeriSign over here doing the root zone maintainer function. Now, one of the most interesting parts of this is the relationship between the IETF and IAB and IANA. For the protocol parameters that are governed by the IETF and IAB, all changes come through a very clear specified mechanism, normally an RFC. So we have full structural separation between the IETF, IAB and IANA. Any change request made to IANA must go through a provable community consensus and must end up in a very specific published form. Okay, you do not get a random ICANN board decision changing, you know, a protocol parameter, basically. Okay, and IANA has to respond to those in those ways. So the next slide then is this is the ICANN proposal they made last Friday to the SO and AC chairs. It is effectively an integrated ICANN, with ITAN having control of the IANA function, ICANN having control of the root zone maintainer function, having control of the oversight function, and within the detail of the oversight function, we can see that there are no longer any IANA or RZM contracts to issue because their view is that they get it forever and a day from that point onwards. Okay? Right. So we have other people have made proposals as well. Another proposal came from the Internet Governance Project, Milton Mueller and Brendan, and this had a very different structure. Did that not move? Right, okay. So at the top, all of this oversight has gone and be replaced with a memorandum of understanding. Please don't ask me about that. It's in their paper. If you want more details, go and read that. There is a structurally separated IANA and RZM called the DNSA, which by its nature cannot do the second pair of eyes function because you need two organisations to do that. And there is a contractual relationship between them. So, but otherwise, ICANN stays the same in that regard. So I'm going to show you some other options now, not because any of these are preferred solutions, but because it's important to recognise the scope, the space of solutions that may exist. One of the problems we have is people trying to limit where our thinking goes on this, and actually our thinking go very broadly. So one of them, the obvious one, is very similar to the IGP one. We have a new oversight entity up here at the top, we have structural separation, and we have a new entity on the right providing the functions, so that this one at the top is a lightweight one that can decide which, whether either of the parties are doing correctly and replace them if they're not. But otherwise, it doesn't do much else. It's a constitutional president in many countries have, you know, that type of thing. The next one here shows ICANN in that top role. So ICANN, as the multi-stakeholder body, is the one that maintains the principles, is the one that issues the contracts, and is the one that is responsible for the system underneath it. We then still have a new entity over here doing the IANA and root zone maintainer functions, but we have a new entity over here doing the policy side of things. Okay? So that we separate out the oversight from policy by keeping ICANN in the big picture. Then we have another alternative here, which shows ICANN limited to the oversight and the GTLD contract management side of things. So managing the SLA, managing the registrars and the registry contracts. We have a new entity that does the policy bit of it. We stay with the ITF and we have a structurally separated implementer over here. And then the final potential option, and then you can design your own. If anybody wants to come up and draw, I will do the diagrams for you. We can have 50 of these, or we don't mind. That's the point. We have ICANN as the entity that has the oversight and the contracts. We have a new entity here that does the GTLD policy. Us CCTLDs, effectively the CCNSO becomes a standalone organisation that has then the global policy control, and we maintain our policy control at the lower level. The ASO becomes the NRO, which already exists, so that then there is a single policy across there. And the RIRs continue doing their work. And we have a structurally separate entity there. So you see, these are just a variety of different options that exist, and I'm sure many of you can provide more. There are some complex ones people have put forward for the top bit up here, being made by a committee of the great and the good, taken from the various different bit components underneath, which is just too many colours for me to show. But it's got some breadth to it, certainly. So I'll just leave that there. If I can get that down. Okay.
Yep. Thank you, Jay. That was very interesting. Everybody knew all of that, right? You could have articulated all the different roles. I mean, you are the biggest user of those services. Don't worry, I couldn't either. Clearly, some people have been swimming in the deep end of the pool, and I think that was actually very, very valuable for us. So when we talk about what is a steward, right? I mean, I think we started to unpack some of that, and then also be able to really clearly delineate the roles and response, the roles that are, in a sense, being pulled out of the equation. So I think that's very helpful. And I think also, you know, what Jay articulated there is there are many different ways to skin this cat. Hopefully that's not just a Canadian expression, but there are many different ways to approach this where the technical functions, the clerical functions, et cetera, are addressed in a very safe, secure, and stable and risk-free environment while maintaining the accountability and oversight mechanisms. And I think even just those two words we need to parse because they're different. And that is a great start on letting us start to think about what is the art of the possible here, given there is such a wide spectrum. I do want to just touch on something because it's key to the whole, the start of it, which is what was presented to the SO and AC chairs. Being one of the chairs that some of the initial stuff was presented to, I would say it wasn't presented as this is the path that we are taking. There was many ideas that were shared, of which without a doubt there was underlying bias to a one-house solution, but it certainly wasn't presented as this is the path. And I will say that all the chairs in the room It was a robust conversation, and the outcome Monday morning, what was presented Monday morning, was very, very different than what was being articulated Friday night. So there was a bunch of chairs who looked at the initial comments, myself included, that pushed back very hard on some of the key elements. And to be fair, ICANN staff was listening, and what came out Monday morning was quite different. But it still got an implicit bias to a kind of a single solution, without a doubt. I just wanted to make that clear. So now that we've seen kind of the articulated simple roles document, the deep dive into what does that really break down like, and some sense of the possible in terms of solutions, one of the things that I wanted to do is start talking about, as we approach this, and there's two pieces, process and substance. And I'm not going to treat it like church and state, and we can only do one or the other right now. Let's have a dialogue about, are there any principles that we want to sort of put on the board for this community as we start to approach this subject, both in how we approach it, the process, and what we start to work towards, come up with in terms of substance. So just start the thinking about this from a principles basis. And I just want to say, Fadi has come in a few moments early, so welcome, Fadi. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
You're going to get to sit in the messy business of a multi-stakeholder conversation right now, so please, yeah, have a seat. And don't let Fadi's presence color your views, you know. Feel free to speak up. Are there any principles that we should be thinking about? Think of the filter set through which we should view the process challenge or the substance issues. So, you know, I guess just to get things going, in a CC community, the notion of subsidiarity would be critical. That our local laws would be paramount. Right? That we as individual CC operators would have to, as a fundamental principle, we would have to be governed by local laws before some global policy. Is that a reasonable principle through which to view it? So that's the kind of... Don't all line up at the mic at once, come on. But I'm happy to walk around too, but feel free to use that. As we start thinking about these issues, how should we start to wrestle them down?
That's already an accepted principle. And so I don't even see why it becomes an issue. I don't think it's being challenged in any way.
I don't think it was being challenged, Dottie. I was just saying, you know, in terms of trying to give an example of a principle through which we should view how are we going to address the substance, that would be an obvious one. We're bound by local laws. Are there any other, no one size fits all. Should we have a working group to wrestle with this in terms of process? I mean, Vika.
Thanks, Baron. I think so the working group or some structure of some sort for the CCNSO is inevitable, obviously, on this. I just think there are a couple of primaries in view of the statement from Tia, that we should bear in mind, especially if you read what's been released there and the move towards a multi-stakeholder-based, oversight and overall management process. I think, however we proceed, whatever the process is, there are certain key definitions, key things that we must clarify and define. And one of them is, what is multi-stakeholderism? You know, sometimes we talk about these definitions and we take them for granted that because you're in the ICANN community, we all understand. But what about those who are outside? And also, do all of us inside the ICANN community understand what is multi-stakeholderism? That's the first bit. The second bit is, what is global multi-stakeholderism? because these are words, and words have power. You know, if you're lawyers especially will know that when you interpret, for example, a law, you interpret it based especially on the words. Same thing with policy. So what is multi-stakeholderism? What is global multi-stakeholderism? That needs to be defined. And it's more important because in different certain quarters, as you will know, whether through the ITU and other different entities, the very same issue of multi-stakeholderism is challenged or questioned. So it must be clarified in view of what of this development by NTIA. Now, it's also important to also bear in mind that there will be questions from different quarters that will come about, for example, is ICANN itself the right fora of debating this particular transition? What NTIA has done, which is good, is indicative of how it would like to see the new ICANN framework, that it would like to see it being a multi-stakeholder-driven process, you know, but is then ICANN the right fora to debate this, considering that already ICANN is positioned to be the beneficiary, as it were, of this. And I'm not saying by that we shouldn't debate it. No, we must be very vocal about how we see this happening, and I'm thankful to the presentation that Jay did, because at least it's got me thinking that some of those models are very good. Others leave questions. So that there's internal part of the ICANN community for us to debate this through our structures and say, this is how we see this. But there will always be questions about should this whole transition be debated within ICANN or should it be debated outside ICANN? I think those are important primaries. One caution, obviously, is this discussion substantially in different quarters as well may set CCTLDs against their own governments, because even at a local level, there are debates about whether CCTLD should be a multi-stakeholder-driven process or should just be a government thing. I can imagine a scenario in South Africa where I come from where we say multi-stakeholderism, yeah, and the government comes and say, well, exactly, could you tell us what is multi-stakeholderism? So those are, we can't help them, but we must understand maybe our contributions as CCTLD could be a thin line to balance between what a CCTLD thinks is right and what a government thinks is right, you know. And in closing, I think a part of the process now of us considering this whole transition, especially from the ICANN community and from the CC community, is, and I would imagine probably ICANN internally in terms of management are already considering that or what. This presents a good opportunity for ICANN as well to differentiate between ICANN as it stands now and ICANN in the future, post this transition, as we would like it to be. Whether that involves your SWOT analysis and stuff, you know, but I think it will help to inform the discussion. Thanks.
Thanks. I've got a comment from Keith and then Jorg, and I do just want to pick up quickly on something you said. I think, you know, the NTIA was pretty clear that it's ICANN's task to convene this discussion. So I think that's pretty clear. But, you know, the further point that you made is, in convening it and potentially being a beneficiary of an outcome, you know, we just need to be aware and conscious. What does that look like? What does that mean? The other point that I think is critical to pick up is around the global nature of this. You know, we have 149 members of the CCNSO. We clearly represent the massive majority of CC domain names out there, but there's still another 100-ish CCs who are not part of our community here inside as a structure of ICANN. And how are we going to make sure that their voices are heard? You know, I personally think that we need to work closely with the regional organizations who can reach down into a whole other layer of CCs that we, just by definition of who we are, would be challenged to do that. And I want to certainly see how we can encourage the four ROs and our organization to find a path to answer some of these questions commonly. Not telling them what to do, they can ask whatever questions they want, but maybe at least we can also have a common set that we answer. Keith. So Keith and then Jorg, and then maybe we'll then Leslie, then Pierre.
Thanks. In concluding that discussion, I think Vika raised a very important point, and I just hope that it's recorded on the board. It might be, but I can't read it from here. But the principles of sovereign rights over CCTLDs versus the principles espoused in RFC 1591 are clearly, I think that was a summary of something you said, but both of those sets of principles are very pertinent to this discussion. And sorry, I wanted to interrupt the dialogue for the record, to record that we are now joined by ICANN CEO and President Fadi Shahadi and our two CCNSO board representatives, Chris Despain and Mike Silver. Now that we're recording you in the room, could we have the courtesy of introducing ourselves as speakers along the way in case anyone wants to respond to specific questions raised by specific people? So thank you.
Is it really time right now for comments to the topic before, or have we just moved on to another topic? Okay. So Jörg Schweiger with .de, Germany. Concerning the question about how do we tackle the problem, I'm in favor of, setting up a working group because, one, as far as I understand, there already has been a temporary working group being set up, so that could be very easily tasked with the job that is to be done in the future. And, to a certain extent, for example, it gives us some time to think about problems, to not just be confronted with them, but to think them through locally, to discuss them locally with our community, with our staff, with our governments, whatever. And it removes the language barrier that may exist as well. So I'm really strongly favoring any kind of working group to tackle the problem. With respect to, and I just couldn't refuse to once again comment on the subsidiary, because I think this is very interesting and crucial, and even for the design of the solution space. I think we have to consider subsidiary because, for example, within the presentation of Jay, he was talking about local policy and he was talking about global policy. And very interestingly to recognize, I think, is that redelegation, for example, has been placed within the box of global policy. And I would question that. Because once a string has been delegated, well, it's under our control. It's under the control of the CC. So why should it be up to any decision of a global policy maker? I just can't see the point.
Thank you. Leslie, and then Pierre, and then we'll call it at that for right now.
Thanks, Byron. Leslie Cowley from nominet.uk. Firstly, I'd like to thank Becky and the team of wordsmiths for starting to define the scope of the conversation. So from the earlier conversations this week, I think we were struggling to actually define what it is we're trying to talk about, and so it's really helpful to start with defining the problem scope, as it were. That paper takes us some way, but I'm still not crystal clear on what we're trying to solve that functional separation might be the answer to. We can get into looking at lots and lots of different models and separation and so on. And I think it would be helpful to explore further as we go what it is those different things might achieve. The other more practical point I had was on subsidiarity, and we're talking about local laws. And just to remind people that subsidiarity is also a WSIS principle, which is very relevant this year as we're now coming up to WSIS plus 10. And that's talking about countries not being involved in decisions regarding another country's CCTLD. And that's WSIS Principle 63. And that's why CCs are quite difficult, I think, in this whole discussion, because countries should not be involved in decisions regarding another country's CCTRD.
Thank you, Leslie. Pierre, and then we'll give the last comment to you, Jay.
Thank you, Baron. Pierre Bonis, AFNIC.fr. Now, first of all, really thank you, Jay, and thank you, Becky, because it's really helpful. And I think the various proposals that Jay showed us shows that there are a lot of possibilities, and this discussion opens a lot of options. To come back to the question asked by Byron about the principles, I totally agree with the subsidiarity and the respect of local law. I think this is interesting to also to remind the principles that are common to all communities, because then we define the principles from of CCs especially, and as we try to apply principles to the process, we can remind that the process should be open, the process should be done in a multi-stakeholder way, and the process should take into account the public interest, which is something that should be shared by all the community, and our specificity is local law and its subsidiarity. That was my comment for now.
Thank you, Pierre. Jay.
Thank you. I think it's important for us to note that nothing is being changed just because we want to. It's being changed because the NTIA is making a fundamental change, and there are repercussions of that that need to be thought right the way through. Part of this process is going to be understanding what the problem is and getting an agreement of what the problem is before we can then move on to the solution. One of the ways that I think about the problem is a very much a risk-focused way. That's the nature of the job that I have to do, running a registry. So some of the risks that have been already raised by people, I have a short list here, that a failure of ICANN has a catastrophic systemic effect because it has become too big to fail, because we have put all our eggs in one basket. That such a failure may leave the whole multi-stakeholder model discredited. That we may see errors introduced to the root zone file affecting all TLDs. So those are some large ones. Then we get to some other ones that may seem, you know, more towards the end of the spectrum that Patricio was worrying about, but that an arbitrary instruction is issued to the IANA function, i.e. something outside of policy, or the IANA function makes an arbitrary change to a register, i.e. outside of policy. So there are a long list, I think, of risks that can be brought out. They need proper assessment, proper understanding, and they then need to be worked against a set of models to understand how each of those models can properly address those risks. But all I see so far in some of the presentations of models so far have been the risks, and so that's why, for me, this is an important way to tackle it.
Thank you, Jay. With that, I am going to go to our featured guest today, Fadi. Welcome, Fadi. I know there were some other questions. I'm sorry, we'll have to take those as feedback. So I'm sure we will have much discussion on principles in the coming days. But we do have a time limit to consider as well. So welcome, Fadi. Thank you for joining us. Much appreciated. We've been having an interesting discussion about how we're seeing the question or the problem to be solved, so to speak. And we've had very interesting dialogue here over the past couple of days. Kicked it off with Larry and Fiona presenting how they were viewing the question and their requirements. So we got sort of their first-person account of how they're approaching it, what they're hearing, and then also had the opportunity to question them. We've had multiple sessions on different elements of this, including having some big panels with the chair of the IETF, Milton Mueller, and others. who brought some very interesting perspectives, Pat Kane from VeriSign, etc. So we've had some pretty fulsome dialogue here as we start to unpack this issue, and as part of that, some of us have taken some stabs at putting pen to paper to really unpack our view of the questions and the spectrum of potential opportunities ahead of us. So with that, we wanted to just have Becky give you a quick run-through of what we're initially, although it's still a work in progress, viewing the questions as. What questions are we answering? And you can see it on this screen here, if you can read that. Becky.
Thanks. And this is just, you know, a sort of work in progress, throw up everything, look at it, see what makes sense. So in the announcement that NTIA made, it described its role as administering changes to the authoritative root zone and serving as the historic steward of the DNS. Now, these two descriptions are really focused on the name functions, not the parameter protocols and numbers, so we acknowledge that there are other things there. But we just started to make a list of what it is that NTIA does. And obviously it authorizes changes to the authoritative root, and importantly for this group, that includes changes that are amount to delegations or to revoke a CCTLD delegation. It oversees ICANN's performance of the functions in the IANA functions contract. It oversees VeriSign's performance of the functions in the cooperative agreement. It selects the IANA functions provider and the root zone management provider. It establishes through the contracting and the periodic rebid the requirements and specifications under which those functions are must be performed. And so it's not, you know, just sort of doing the technical functions. The IANA function contract, as you know, has requirements for documentation and response time and consultation and that kind of stuff. And then oversees ICANN's obligation to develop and implement consensus policies through a bottom-up multi-stakeholder process as expressed in the affirmation of commitments and be accountable to all stakeholders. And that's the sort of backstop role. We're going to be spending some time in this community talking about each and every each part of that and refining those things, but our goal is to come up with a collective view about what the USG currently does, so we can know just what it is we have to be looking at and thinking about transitioning.
Thank you, Becky. Putting you on the spot a little bit, but wondering, I'll give you a moment to think about, is there anything there that you think is a glaring error? Have we missed anything? Do you have any comments on it? While you process that in the back of your mind, maybe just ask you, over the course of the week, what's your sense of the state of play on this? Have you been surprised by anything? How are you seeing this issue evolving? What are the key hot spots or threads that you'd like to make mention to this community?
Well, first, reacting to this, the scope of the consultation will be published on April 7th, so I won't comment on it now. But we are listening to everybody, we are refining this, we're reviewing it with NTIA, and on the 7th, we will publish the scope as well as the process based on what we're hearing. If you have any input specifically on these things, please submit it. I think we still have that open till the 27th, which is tomorrow. So at some point we can take all of this, synthesize it, produce what we think we heard, share it with NTIA, share it with the affected communities, the ISTARs, etc., and make sure we're all in sync. Then we'll publish it on the 7th for another round of public consultation. So we'll have another yet chance for everybody to see, because not everybody's obviously here. Everyone should have a chance to participate in shaping the process and so on and so forth.
I think what I'm feeling, frankly, is that this week has been extremely timely in many ways. The announcement of NTIA, quite frankly, was originally slated for next week. Then it was pulled up to the 17th of March. And it was pulled up largely for this, so that this happens, precisely for this. There's no other reason. In fact, there were a lot of reasons not to pull it up. But we insisted that if they're going to do it, they should allow our community to be together. And by our community, I mean not the whole community, but at least those who are here, to start the dialogue and to discuss it. So I think that NTIA was very wise to allow us this time. If this had happened in the absence of at least a gathering of this community, I think it would have been harder. So I'm very, very thankful to NTIA for making that announcement when they did. It served us well. I see very productive dialogue, and I think we will emerge from this week with some good ideas that will allow us to scope this and put a process in place that is acceptable. The road from here to the end of the NTIA contract is long. We have 18 months ahead of us. But I want to say today, again, that there is no guillotine sitting in front of us at 18 months. If we do not have a proposal that we built with consensus in time for the end of that contract, I will be the first one to ask NTIA to renew the contract. So there is no obligation for us to finish in 18 months, other than we have a window, we have an administration that will change in the United States starting 2016 as election year. There may be new people at NTIA, new people certainly in the White House, new people in the administration. So is it reasonable for us to say, let's try and work this out while the administration is still largely here? I would say so, but it's up to us. And we certainly shouldn't, none of us, including me, starting with me, I'm committing to all of you, push for this change if we're not comfortable that we have a proposal that guarantees the things we all care about, the common principles of stability, security, openness, that are all the things that the NTIA put, and in addition to that, all the other things we worry about. I would like to caution us from going down any paths that fragment the internet. I think maintaining a single route with the registries of the internet maintained as they have been faithfully for 15 years is an important goal to keep in mind. There are so many forces that wish to fragment the internet. Now, we have to do that with full respect for the sovereignty and the independence of the CCTLDs as operators of their country domains. We have to find that formula that respects both principles. The principle of one internet, the principle of a single set of registries, because, by the way, there are entries into the protocol parameter registries and the numbers registries and the name registries that need to be coordinated. These are not distinct registries. And that's why when NTIA was asking whether we should put all three under their contract at some point in the past, we kept them in one contract, because there is a reason from an integrity standpoint to keep these together. So please, I beg us to be careful with the integrity of these technical registries. The second point I'd like to encourage us to think about is that on the same day as the announcement of the NTIA, which you have on the screen, or parts of it, all the technical organizations issued a statement that was equally important to this statement, in which they affirmed many of the same principles, including the policy roles of the bodies that make policy, including the CCTLDs, as well as the affirmation of the role of ICANN as the ongoing administrator of these registries. So do not divorce that statement from what NTIA did. In fact, they were tightly managed. One would not have come out without the other. Now, with all of this in mind, we need to be very sharp with the focus of our public consultation. The public consultation is designed to ensure the accountability of those performing the work. That's the job. We need to give the world a sense that they are now replacing the U.S. government in ensuring some of these things you see here on the bullets. Right? Now, we need to find these mechanisms. Notice that when we drew that little slide, which is now on our website, the slide with the green bar on the right, we did not put global multi-stakeholder mechanism or global mechanism or whatever across the whole column. We clearly divided it. We clearly separated the CCTLDs, even though people may have said, as the IETF always says, you only have three registries, names, numbers, protocol parameters. But we very specifically separated the CCTLDs. And this was thanks, in many ways, to Byron's guidance on this, that we need to all appreciate that there are some very specific things we have to do to provide accountability there that may be vastly different than what we would have to do for the generic names. So there is a deep appreciation that what we do or what we discuss as a mechanism or set of mechanisms to replace the USG role in terms of the accountability of IANA in performing your functions may be different. And finally, I want to say one thing. If you pull up that slide again and look at it, there's some very important details. One of them is that you own the policies for your names, obviously, right? I don't own the policies. What binds me to implementing your policies in the IANA registries, or the names registry specifically for you, is the frameworks that we've established with many of you. Now, with the other groups, the other rows, for example, today we agreed with all the numbers people that we will strengthen our agreements with them. So when the world starts looking deeply into how are we accountable to them and to the world, we'd have strong agreements. Maybe we should discuss the same with you, maybe not. But we need to see how we can put you at ease that we are performing your functions according to your policies. One thought on that, for example, maybe to fully automate any changes to the route as it relates to you, and to give you, for example, a complete control over these changes so that no one can change anything as it relates to your entry in the route zone. By your, I mean each of you individually, without your not only complete acceptance, but you will have a way to block that. You will own this change through a key or through some other mechanism. So these are the things that we need to strengthen between us, independent of the public consultation. And we have time to do this, hopefully, in the weeks and months ahead.
Thank you very much, Fadi. Certainly, I think there's some grist for the mill in the comments made there. I'm going to take the opportunity to open up the floor to my colleagues here if they had any questions or comments about what we've heard from Fadi, because there's certainly some interesting ideas there. I know it's the end of two long days, but we have Fadi in the room. You can get it straight from the horse's mouth. Now's the time.
Byron, are you calling our CEO a horse?
So maybe while my colleagues are scratching out their questions, I could ask you, between middle of last week, 7 days, how are you viewing the world today that is a surprise to you coming into it 7 days ago? What are the big deltas from how you conceived where we were going to head versus where you've ended up today?
Well, the way you formulated the question at the end is actually I'm finding that we are pretty much where we thought we would be. A little bit of shock in the community. I think we're experiencing that. Most people are a bit shocked. 2 weeks ago, there were some members of your community and other communities telling me it will be another 20 years before the U.S. even cedes on oversight. Only 2 weeks ago. Nobody believed they'd ever do it. But they did. So in terms of your question, is my expectation that the community would view this kind of where I thought it would be? Yeah. Some people are upset with us that they were not briefed ahead of time. I had no choice. I was not allowed to. My board was briefed about 24 hours ahead of time. So it's not like I had a choice. This was a tough negotiation. The only surprise I have is in Washington. That's the only surprise I have. I expected Sarah Palin to say what she said. I expected various officials to say what they say. But I'll tell you the biggest surprise I have in Washington. It's not that people are using this for political reasons. Politicians will do that. It's the lack of understanding of the multi-stakeholder model in Washington is incredible. It's really sad how little our own government officials in the United States who supposedly, you know, should know this model in out do not understand. So they immediately are reading Larry's announcement as he's handing this to the governments of the world, or only to the governments of the world, and reading all kinds of things in it that are false, and I'm leaving out those who are politicizing. And so unfortunately, I was planning to take a few days off after this meeting, but I'm heading to Washington, D.C. There's multiple hearings now on the Hill, Judiciary Committee, the various committees, and I've been demanded as a witness, so I'm heading.
So that's the biggest shock, I guess, on that front.
Yeah, I didn't expect the lack of understanding to be so deep.
No. Keith?
Fadi, just picking up on a comment where you were sort of alluding to the idea that the automation of the IANA function should proceed and so on. I think that triggers perhaps the difference in what becomes important to us and what's business as usual. For all of us now, the process by which we update our records in IANA is straightforward. We have great reporting from IANA. Replacing a service level agreement in some form for that with someone else somewhere else is not so difficult. The real gnarly issues for us, the real difficult issues, are the decisions that are made outside of our community. That is where there are delegations and redelegations. And so this is not when we are in control of our IANA entry anymore. So while these are relatively rare things, certainly much rarer than our updating the database, they are incredibly sensitive. And this is where the rubber hits the road. This is where you come across the direct conflict between sovereign rights and local internet community rights and so on. So for us, having a vehicle that allows us to know and understand that, particularly in view of the US government statement that this will morph to a multi-stakeholder model where governments must be equal players rather than senior players and so on, is quite critical.
I'm so glad you said this, Keith, because this is precisely what I'm trying to, frankly, save us from. If you folks take the processes you just mentioned and stick them into the green column, it'll be multi-stakeholder. And now I need to go explain to sovereign governments that, you know, we need all the stakeholders to decide on your CC's processes. So this is why we kept that column on this side. And we said, You tell us how you want me to do these processes with you. You know, let's design together, in the absence of a U.S. government, how we want to manage delegations, redelegations moving forward. Let the green column be a multi-stakeholder column that provides some kind of an oversight that IANA is performing its functions according to its agreements with the constituents, meaning you. If we keep these things this way, I think we all get through this important tunnel safely, rather than have the global community design how we will perform these functions for you. Let's do it for you, with you, in a way that meets your requirements, and then let them design mechanisms to simply watch me perform them according to your policies and my agreements with you, just like we're doing with the RIRs and the IET.
Thanks, Fadi. Have Roloff, and then Annabeth, and then Pierre and Stephen.
Roloff Meijer, .nl. Fadi, did I understand you correctly that you said that there will be a consultation? No, that a draft scope of the whole thing will be published on the 7th of April. Is that going to be published by ICANN? So not by the NTIA. So does that mean that ICANN, the community, is going to determine the scope?
No, it's based on what NTIA has told us. Clearly, there has been some confusion in the community, so mm-hmm. we're going to clarify that with NTIA and publish it. We will clarify it with NTIA and publish it on 7th of April.
So my second one is more of a plea, and that is to keep absolute focus on what is stipulated in the communique of the NTIA, the role that the NTIA is playing now. We will be very tempted to tweak certain parts in the structure that we have now, and I think that's a very bad idea, mainly because we're going to lose direction, we're going to lose speed, and we're probably not going to finish this whole thing in time. And the world is watching. Well, maybe not the whole world, but at least those that are interested and have something to say about it are watching if this process is going to work. And some of them will be ready to jump in if they conclude that it's not. One of the things I've been hearing already, and I've just heard it again yet now, is, for instance, this very sensitive process about redelegations. It's not the NTIA who is doing that. It's not the NTIA who is making policy on redelegations. It's further down in the tree. It's not the NTIA's role to execute redelegations. I think within the ICANN organization and community, we make the policy. So although I know I'm in the lion's den when I say this, but I think we shouldn't talk about that. It's the oversight of also that process, but quite a few other processes as well.
Byron,
we are the only two then.
Yeah. Byron, can I respond?
Just one second, Chris.
Yeah.
See, I don't that often get to shut Chris down, so enjoy that moment. So anyway, I just want to make note of the fact that we have Annabeth, Pierre, Stephen, and Nigel, so the queue is forming quickly. And I'd also just like to say, I have heard those folks speak from time to time before. If there's anybody else who would like to jump into the queue, I'll put you at the front of the queue or wherever you'd like to go in the queue. So please, anybody else, most welcome to join the conversation. Very short intervention, Chris.
Only just to say that I think keeping it simple is actually the key to this. We are in control to a great extent. A scope is going to be provided. If we live within that scope and get what we want within that scope, then once it's all over and we've moved on to the next stage, if you want to pursue the next aspect of it, etc., that's fine. And the only other thing I really wanted to say was critically importantly is don't forget the work of the Framework of Interpretation Working Group has been put in place, which I know it's not finalised yet, but almost finalised, which really does provide you with the meat and vegetables of the redelegation, revocation, delegation stuff, which has got nothing to do with the U.S. government's role.
I just want to make the point, too, that Fadi was booked here till 3:30, so we... Okay, so we'll keep talking while you move your appointment. Annabeth.
Hello, Annabeth Lange from .no. And I would like to come back to the format you showed us, the slide you showed us with the green thing on it. It would actually be a good idea to have it here while we're talking about it. Ayana, yeah. But I really think it was a good idea to have it in four sections, to divide it between the protocols and the numbers and the two sets of names. But on the right column, it was written multi-stakeholder for all future thing. It was set up what is the situation today for the oversight, and then the way I and a lot of others, which I've understood from the questions, have understood that multi-stakeholderism in the right column was that should be the result, not those who are going to discuss how we end. You see the difference? Yeah. So I think it might be clarifying for some that it was more like a question mark in that column.
I'll make this very easy. I actually, I'll admit now publicly, I didn't want the word multi-stakeholder there at all because of your role.
Yeah, exactly. Okay? So we.
But the U.S. government kept saying we're worried that people misunderstand. So I told them, but the CCTLDs may not have. So you just helped me by giving me a very good exit from that. That what we're talking here about is the result, not how we get there. How we get there may be a government that has sovereign rights over these mechanisms of accountability. So I'm with you on that. I think this helps me quite a bit.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Pierre, next.
Thank you. Thank you, Fadi, for having shared this information about the public consultation that's coming to be issued on the 7th. One question about that. Don't you think it's going to be difficult to explain to people who have submitted already a lot of papers through NetMundial before the decision of the NTIA and talking about U.S. government oversight on the NTIA's function? Because, I mean, a lot of contribution to NetMundial was talking about that, because it was before the announcement of the NTIA. Don't you think it's going to be difficult to explain then that they have to rewrite something once again in such a short time?
No. We couldn't ask this of people, obviously. So leave NetMundial out for a minute. What we will put out on April 7th is nothing but a summary or synthesis of everything we heard this week, plus all the people are sending now via email, because we have an email link on the site, so people are sending ideas. But it's all about process, not substance. It's entirely about how are we going to manage this, folks. That's it. So it's purely about process, no substance yet. Once we get the process nailed, and so we'll put this out to simply say, give us more input. So more input on process. We'll open it, and by the way, today at 4, I will be asking the government of Brazil, at the request of NTIA, that we take 90 minutes during NetMundial to discuss also the process. So all the participants at NetMundial who are anxious to go and talk about IANA, tell them, look, we have a process, it's already started, you have input, we'll take some more input from you at NetMundial. So we'll have a 90-minute window in NetMundial. But I hope I clarified the situation,
yeah,
Pierre.
Yeah, I think that's good. Stephen? We have Stephen and then Nigel. And then we probably need to respect Fadi's time on this and actually our own time and wrap it up there.
Stephen Derhake, American Samoa. If I could, Fadi, I'd like to go back to the answer you gave to Byron's question, in which you expressed surprise at the reaction beyond the usual suspects that you have seen so far from Washington. Frankly, I'm surprised that you're surprised, because this tells me that you are being ill-served by your advisors, who fail to appreciate just how functionally unfunctional Washington is. And I suspect that you're going to see a lot more pushback, including pushback from both sides of the aisle, going forward on this, precisely with the know-nothing crowd, the, oh my God, Obama's giving away our internet. And my question is ICANN prepared to engage in the educational and lobbying effort that's going to take to overcome that?
So I certainly appreciate what you said, and what I'm maybe I was showing more frustration than lack of knowledge, but I'm deeply frustrated by what you said. Yes, we have started a pretty extensive lobbying effort about a month ago. We've always had access to members of the Washington political class, but we have increased that effort now. More importantly, we're now working with other members of the community more closely, including key players that have more effect and dollars in Washington than I will ever have. You saw the very positive statements from Verizon, very positive statements from Microsoft, very positive statements from AT&T, very positive statement from Comcast, and on. So these are the guys that need to step into D.C. and say, look, what's wrong here? I mean, this is good for business. This is businesses and governments and U.S. government stepping out of the way of businesses and letting the world manage this growth. So they will, yes, the answer to your question is yes, there's quite a bit of coordinated effort. I'm spending the whole week next week. One example of it, are you back in D.C. next week? On Friday morning, one of the most Republican think tanks, the Hudson Institute, agreed to do a very important seminar in the morning that I will be speaking at, along with some of the top Republican thinkers in Washington, to basically... So that's an example of multiple things we're doing in D.C.
Thank you, Fadi.
Sorry, can I intervene very quickly there, Byron? Stephen, I think good comment. In fairness to the staff, I think that we have a very good team. I think the team advises Fadi well. I just think Fadi, by his nature, expects the best out of people rather than the worst. So his surprise may have been at human nature rather than because he wasn't adequately advised.
Mm-hmm. So two more questions. We have Nigel and then one from Adobe Connect. And Nigel, just in the interest of time, an economy of words, please.
Economy was what I was working on. I appreciate Fadi's time here on this. What's important for a customer of the IANA services, or everything ICANN does for us as CCLDs, is consistency, accountability, and here's the key, redress if something goes wrong. And there's been in the past a lot of unwise and misconceived decisions by ICANN in relation to CCTLDs. I'm not here to disinter those, so it will be economy of time. The CCNSO that you're here today is the very embodiment of forgiveness. I think that shouldn't be underestimated. And what I want to ask about is this, and it's a yes or no answer, so you can either answer it yes or no, or you can give some comment, is that in any proposed structure, will you ensure that there will be a redress facility based on something that is predictable and reliable, a judicial function, if you will, that's based on respect for fundamental rights as we understand them in the world?
Yes. And to show you it's a real yes, read in detail the statement that we got out with the ISTARS. You will find in the fourth paragraph a very clear section for the IETF that says if the IETF is, you know, not satisfied with how we implemented their policy, they can come to me after they talk to staff. If I fail, they can go to the board. And if the board fails, they have redress outside the board to a new mechanism. So absolutely, this is what I mean by saying, let's strengthen these things between us. And let's give you all the redress and the support you need. So when the world starts saying, oh, we want to watch over how IANA is performing, we can show them what's in place. So with the RIRs, we agreed we're going to move forward, in fact, as fast as possible between now and June to start showing the strengthening of these things. And I invite you to do the same with us, either as a group or individually. I'm here for that.
And I think the final question goes to the chat room.
Do we have more time? Do we have time?
Okay, yes.
Okay, so Javier Rodriguez is asking, seeing all these global changes, how intense will the wave of change in the CCTLD arena be? Does multi-stakeholder models in some CCTLD raise huge waves?
I think that's actually probably more a CCTLD general question than a question for Fadi. So maybe we'll, sorry to that individual right now, we'll park it for the time being.
Yeah, and my general answer to him is let's reduce the anxiety. Let's do things calmly. Let's address the needs we have calmly. As I said before, there is no pressure other than it's an opportunity. Let's take the opportunity and let's make the most of it. And to those in Washington who don't believe our community knows how to solve this on its own, let's show them otherwise. One way to tell people to back off is to show the multi-stakeholder model works. We listen to each other. We support each other. We strengthen our agreements. And we're accountable. So please, join us in this journey. I want to say one last thing with the help of Chris and Silber, who have been very good guides for me, certainly as was Byron in the last few months. I want to tell you that my understanding personally of your needs and how you work has grown tremendously. I have deep respect for your work, for your independence, and I'm here at your service. We are at your service, period. We are not here to control any outcome. This is your outcome. Please define it and come to us. I will do everything I can in the next few months to come and visit, not just me, but my staff, to come and visit all the CCTLDs as much as we can, either regionally or in countries, so that we can listen also to your input and strengthen our support for you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Fadi, and to Mike and Chris for taking so much time with us. Very interesting discussion. So let's thank the three of them in the way that we normally do. Thank you, gentlemen. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Keith to wrap us up.
Yes, and I think also we owe a vote of thanks to Becky and to Jay for the work they've done in preparing this particularly difficult subject for us. So can we join in thanking them both? Apologies for allowing the session to run over time. We are 18 minutes late, but it's an unusual opportunity that we had to put our board members and Fadi on the spot. And I do hope that that has given us more information and more questions than answers at this stage. I think we're now going to a tea break, and then at 4 o'clock the CCNSO Council is meeting back in here. So sorry that this impacted adversely on your tea break, but would all the Council be back in the room at 4 sharp? And as always, CCTLD members are welcome to attend and observe. Thank you.